or he's going to be a little late? Okay. I thought he said he's going to be here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If anyone wants to turn their microphones on so we can be heard.
Yep.
Okay, we've got to open up the meeting, the special meeting of the of Water, Kootuah Water District. It's 9 o'clock. This is a special meeting for to workshop the upcoming water rates changes here. I'd just like to go around the room, have everyone introduce themselves, and do it with a microphone so we all know for the recording who we're talking to. I'm Don Campbell, Chairperson, Kootuah Water Commissioners.
Vic Mastro, Water Commissioner.
Tom Hoppenstead, Water Commissioner.
Chris Wiseman, Water Superintendent.
Ray Perrone, District Treasurer.
Dan Mahoney, Superintendent, Sandwich Water District.
Jen Legere, Office Manager, Water Department.
Patrick O'Neill, Vice President, Tate and Howard.
Fran Parks, Prudential Committee.
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential Committee.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming on a weekday in the morning like this. I know we all have things to do. So we just want to start off this with just a brief history how we got here today. I know the last time there was a rate increase in the village was 2005, so we're 12 years with the same rate. And prior to 2015, we included into our expenses the health insurance, which was then moved to the responsibility of the Prudential Committee. So for the longest time, we weren't even covering our expenses with the rates that we were charging for the water in 2015, and then we became positive for covering operational expenses. I know that a year or two ago, I started hearing from a number of people about the importance of we need to look at our rates, we need to possibly pay more, if not all, of our expenses, including health insurance, retirement, capital expenses, all through a rate income. There was talk about it last year on the Water Department board here. The conversation didn't go that far. We had a lot of things going on. There was some interest from some people to something that we could do it ourselves. But since that time and coming into this new year, I think we need to have a professional job done so we come up with accurate information so we can look at all the variables that are going on and make sure we cover all the expenses that we determine we want to cover with our rates. So that's our history from the past coming to where what brings us here today. I'd like to start with introducing Dan Mahoney, Superintendent of Sandwich Water Department. I've talked to him a couple times about issues like this, and I know from talking to Chris and some other people in different water departments that he is held in high esteem amongst his peers. He has a lot of experience. Don't shake your head about that, Chris. He has a wealth of knowledge about the water departments on the Cape and outside the Cape, and doing this many times in the past. So I just want him to give us some experience in this, and then we can ask questions and continue on.
Thank you. Good morning. Sandwich Water District has been in existence since 1947. Formed as a special district, but we don't have a fire department. It's specifically water. Currently, we probably have two-thirds of the revenue income from taxes, one-third from water rates. And it's sort of been our objective to try and get it to 50-50. For the simple reason that we feel that large infrastructure, fire hydrants, and tanks and fire protection can be had by people that don't pay a water rate. prime example I always used to give was when a freezer plant needed 4,000 gallons a minute down on the marina, and they only had one toilet in there. So they'd use $30, $40 a year in water rates, and they had the afforded 4,000 gallons a minute fire protection. So that's why we still feel that a tax rate of some sort is very helpful to stabilize the district revenues, and we do at some point in time going to try and establish a capital replacement account that we will fund. We do it sort of nonchalant now, but it's not a structured capital replacement. So a couple of the places that have gone full rate is Bourne Water District. I think it was 7 years ago, they completely dropped the tax rate. They knocked it down to like 9 cents or something, then they dropped it completely. And 3 years later, because of they used less water, they had to reestablish the tax rate. I think it was 5 or 6 cents that they went back to. So that was a big controversy for them. And, you know, they try to do the right thing. And I tried to talk to the superintendent at the time, but the board wouldn't, they wanted to go full rate. And I talked to one of the commissioners, too, and you know, sort of forewarned them after what happened at Centerville Osterville, if anyone recalls that, when they went to full rate because of the village of Osterville. Some of the folks in Morrison's Mills would get a $150 bill, and once they dropped 11 cent tax rate, they were getting $600 and $700 bills. And it was a big revolt. They got rid of all the commissioners, and they eventually got rid of the superintendent and the assistant. It became so onerous. It was horrible. So it would be my suggestion to do this over time. And because of the larger infrastructure and necessary fire protection for some, like boat yards and stuff, may not use a whole lot of water, but they may need large gallons per minute in fire protection, large water mains, extra hydrants, and the new tanks and stuff are prime example. And the first thing I would do is have sort of an independent rate study to, and they'll give you different scenarios of how it will affect the person that uses 50,000 gallons a year, the person that uses 20,000, and some of your higher users that can, you know, use upwards of a million because they have these big landscaping schemes and so on and so forth. And I still caution that in the end, if DEP decides that we can't irrigate anymore, you've got to do restrictions, and there go your revenues in that $3, $4, $5 upper tier rate structures. You lose that, that's a lot of money. And the tax rate can help to stabilize that. And also, some of the larger facilities that don't use much water are taxed at a fairly decent rate that will afford them that fire protection. But I would definitely get a rate study to figure out what it's going to be, the impacts to the folks that actually use the water. Yeah. And then I don't know if he charged the schools or anything, or if you charge the town the same rate as that's something to consider as revenue. We don't charge the schools or the town other than the minimum $20 per half. If you do increase the water rates, I had one other thought. I would do the baseline because the bonding rating will go up if you have a known base. Like if you went to quarterly billing, raise that up, that will help your bond rating and will be a stable source of revenue. If you were to go to full rate, there needs to be consideration for hydrant maintenance, hydrant installations from the fire district of your district, because all that's not really necessary to actually run the water department for domestic purposes. It's all fire protection for the tanks and the large water mains. So that could be a consideration for transfer of funds from tax rate to support the large fire suppression type, you know, hydrants, tanks, large water mains. That's about all I had. Okay, does anyone have any questions for Dan? Steve, why don't you grab a microphone? Thank you, Dan. We're going to open up the questions.
Sure. Stan Goldstein of the Prudential Committee. I have a couple of questions. You talked about businesses that require large fire suppression capabilities but don't use a lot of water, so they don't pay a lot of rate. So what's in Kituit, we don't have a lot of businesses that I know of that would cause that to happen. But in Sandwich, what's your spread between the number of businesses you have? Maybe, I don't know how you...
Well, there are vacant properties. There are properties that don't have any, use water at all. And so without a tax rate, we're supplying fire protection at no cost.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, and I'm not trying to dictate, I'm just trying to say that there needs to be some consideration of what we are supplying to folks that they may not be paying the same as anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, you as a homeowner could be paying more that you need, say, 500 gallons a minute at some a building like this or whatever that needs 1,500, 3,000 gallons a minute.
Yeah.
So you're not getting that revenue, but you're supplying the protection.
The other thing is you talked about the potential, something I never thought of, the potential of the DEP. If we go into a really rain deficit, the DEP coming out and said you can't irrigate anymore, and there goes income. When is the last time, can anybody recall, when's the last time the DEP ever came out with that? You have a lot of, you know, that type of edict that no more irrigation because of a deficit of rain?
It's basically contingent upon each entity's ability to supply water in a drought condition. But the environmentalists are actually driving that agenda to force DEP into creating full-time restrictions.
Yeah.
Because they can.
But it hasn't... It
hasn't happened yet.
Okay. But there's a potential...
But I just caution for the future that it's certainly a possibility and it warrants consideration by your Prudential and the Water Board.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah, we're going to do public comment after, okay? So we're going to stay amongst this board right here. So there's no more questions? All right. Well, thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So that was a long trip. You didn't have to go over a bridge to get here.
It was fun, yeah. Nice little village over here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Don't get lost on the way out.
No, I may stay for a little longer just to listen, if that's okay.
That's fine. So what I'd like to do is have us go around the table here. I'm looking at, I would hope, to find some consensus in two areas. One is, what do we want to accomplish? And I mean, do we have go full rate? Do we do change what the rate covers and do more rate for more things and still have some tax use or keep it the same or whatever the option is? I just want to know what, if we come to consensus of what it is we want to accomplish right here with this rate survey. And the second thing, once we establish that, if we can come to a consensus on how to do that, all right? So there's going to be what we want to do and how we can do it. And I'll start, again, my name is Don Campbell. It's been a learning and sometimes painful experience coming to this point right here with this topic. I know there was a lot of talk last year amongst the board about doing it in-house, that we can do it, we don't need to go outside. I have come to believe that's not probably the best thing for the district. I think we need to have a professional rate study done that goes into all the different, you know, facets that we need to consider when coming up with a rate for the district. The fire protection, the usage. We need to consider the changes in the weather over the years. Some years we have a large income based on hot, dry summers. And some years we have a less of an income due to cool, wet summers. So there has to be a balance there somewhere that a rig can be, you can pretty much guess what we can get over a period of time. We don't want to have the rate, I mean, there's also a concern about if the rate is to increase based on what our goal is to too high a point, that the reaction by our rate users will be, I'm not going to use it. And our income comes down again. So we're not covering our expenses. If that's the case, if we decide we want to go and cover everything and it causes us to have a high rate increase, I would definitely suggest that we spread it out over time so it's not a one-time hit, so people can build up to it and become more comfortable with it and accept it. But I'd like to try to find a solution to this. And first thing is with a goal. My personal preference would be, and I is to cover the operational expenses, the health insurance, and the retirement expenses incurred by the water department. I firmly believe, like Dan, that part of the district doesn't use our public water, yet they get the benefit of the water system through fire protection. As a ratepayer, I don't want to pay for them. I want to pay for my usage, what my responsibility is. I don't want to take on the responsibility of people that aren't paying into the system. And that's just my personal feeling. So that's what my goal would be if it was my, if it was Don's world, but it's not. It's going to be our world. So with that, which way do you want to go here? Go this way? Oh, we'll go that way. We're just going to go around. Everyone get a chance to talk.
I agree with Don. I agree with Don. I think we need to cover the basic operating expenses. My question, and I'm not settled on what other things we need to cover, are our capital improvements. And do we include those capital improvements as part of the rate survey? Do we depend on bonding issues to cover those capital expenses? And we've just gone through this with a new water tank. You know, we know we're going to have, and we're in the midst of this with the state mandate on the our pumping stations for $500,000. Do we try and anticipate those expenses, and do we adjust our rates to cover those expenses? So I think that's a consideration.
Thank you. I agree with the operational components. I think that we need to cover that. I like that we cover health insurance. I think we should plan ahead for salaries and increases in salaries as well as retirement for the water department. I also agree that taxes need to offset the costs for our water users, particularly like in the context of the water users that aren't really using water but have the service there. I don't want to pay for them either, particularly, but I know in some districts that happens, and it sounds like that gets pretty controversial. I am concerned with capital expenses. I don't know if we can foresee too many capital expenses, but those just pop up at times, right? So we have to plan for that. We don't want to get in a position where the state comes in and says, you know, you're going to put water restrictions in, and we see our revenues go down considerably, and then we don't have enough money to cover the expenses of the water department. We got to avoid that. I think we need to maintain the tax base. I'm not sure what our split is. Sandwich was one-third to two-thirds, rates to taxes. I'm not sure where we are on that, but that's a question that I think we could get with a survey, or maybe someone knows that. That's a question I have. To me, that seems reasonable, just because it's being done successfully in a nearby town. So I'd like to see any kind of independent survey take a look at that for us and make sure that that's covered. You know, if that's something that we have some information on. I'll pass it on. Your other comments?
Yeah, we've all been talking at different meetings about really where we want to be, what we can be. But I just want everybody to know, last year was a phenomenal. The amount of water we pumped around the Cape was unbelievable. We basically, our operations and everything was paid for. We were in a plus. I can almost guarantee you this year we're not going to be in a plus. We are pumping right now. You've got people out there. We go from one pumping station being able to keep us going and fill that tank in the wintertime to all five running. When I come in the morning, there's green and red on them pumps, and every one of them's green when I get in the morning. And it's all because of the sprinkler systems. That's why DEP tries to hit them right away about odd and even and everything else. If they tell us to do it, we have to do it. And that's the first thing they go after every single time. Pat could tell you a little more about the water management permit and everything else coming up, but we have a certain amount that there's a level that if they find it underneath, if they put it out, boom. On a well, I believe it's in Brewster, is that?
No, you're
Sandstrom, okay. So it's really tough here, especially on the Cape, to do this two-third, a third. We don't know what we're going to have for revenue coming in, and that's the hottest spot.
Ray Perone, treasurer. I guess my position is rather simple. I think that we need an independent study to determine not only what costs should be included in a rate evaluation, but also to do, if you will, from what I've seen in some of the literature, a review of our whole system to see what its capabilities are, what its limitations are. So I think that a rate study will have benefits from the standpoint of evaluating the entire system very objectively, so that capital budgeting can be have a firm basis. I think that the rate, what costs get included in that rate, can also be determined on a objective basis, subject to discussion by the Water Board and the Prudential Committee. But at least it gives you a baseline from which to make objective evaluations. And then finally, I think you have to separate what is what you find from what we implement. I think that you need the facts on the table to evaluate where we are and where we should go. And then you exercise the managerial judgment and the political judgment of what the taxpayers really want. And I think the other thing is, I think the taxpayers want this evaluation as well. They passed that amendment to do an independent study. So I think that they are on board with this evaluation, and I think it's a great opportunity to form a basis not just to deal with the day-to-day problems that Chris faces with, but a very longer-term perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
I just have a couple of quick comments. We haven't been able to determine a fair ratio of what the Water Department revenue covers versus tax revenue because we haven't come to a consensus on what we include in the revenue or what we include in the expenses, whether capital expenses and long-term debt are included in there or not. So I think that's part of the discussion we need to have to lay out the goals of that, and then we can say what ratio we're at now, one-third to two-thirds. There are definitely businesses within the district, Route 28 being a glaring example of the gas stations and the bakery and Lugene's printing that would require huge fire protection should there be a fire, but basically only pay minimum rate usage because they have just a toilet on board. There are several homes within the district that are still on wells, mine being included in that. And then we also have to consider the district demographic. It's a lot like Dan was saying with Osterville and Marston's Mills. There's two sides of Route 28. It's not everybody down on Main Street, and there's low-income housing in Catuit Meadows as well. So as we discuss rate increases and implementing them, we definitely need to find a fair and equitable way to assess that across the district.
So I have one question to start out with. What rate does the town of Barnstable pay for the cemetery?
They pay regular.
They pay regular, just like everybody else.
Okay, well, that's a problem.
They also have irrigation wells.
Right. So do they use our water to irrigate, or they do just use their wells?
The cemetery has its own well.
Okay.
But the bath stations, the dock, the gardens that are down here in the center of town, those are all straight rate, just like anybody else pays.
Okay.
The town of Barnstable, being the village, as a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but do we send a bill for the fire department? No, the fire department has a lot of
fire department, but pretty wrong,
yeah. Yes.
So, I see this as a two-part process, not just a water rate, but the first thing being a cost of service, which will be a broad look at the entire water system, and hopefully not only give you a cost of service, but also a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan so you can look down the road. And then after that, do an independent water rate study on the results of that study. That's the first thing. The second thing is traditionally the fire district itself has always paid for capital improvements like the water towers or large projects like putting in the replacement mains down on Main Street. So I'm not 100% sure that that's something that would need to be put into the rate itself as opposed to being borne by all of the taxpayers, because that does benefit all of the taxpayers. I would like to see large users and the town pay something more than just the basic rate, especially the town, because I think that would be fair, but I don't think I don't think you're going to be able to necessarily recoup all of your costs from the water rate, because there are people that don't use the water. And I certainly think that two-thirds and one-third is, because we have less business in Catuit, I don't think that's an appropriate split. We don't typically, when we set the tax rate, we don't have a commercial tax rate. So I think that might be a hindrance in having a commercial water rate, but I'm not sure.
I, too, am very interested to know what our current split is, and I understand, Jen, kind of the issue as to what would be included in the expenses and determining what that is at this point in time. It certainly sounds to me like this study, would be a great baseline for us. One has never been. We've never had a study of this nature before in the history.
Not in a long time.
So certainly, the village has changed over the years. I think just even with the new construction, and we have these huge, large homes. However, many of them are seasonal, and even though they have 5 bathrooms, I don't think they're used very often. So I'm not really sure what their water use is. But certainly their tax rate would come into play. It's clear that, the full rate system doesn't seem to work for anybody, Bourne having been an example of that attempt. But I would be interested to know in what sandwiches, and I'm sorry, this came up after you spoke, what does the water rate cover for your expenses? Does that improve capital expenditures or... Okay. And that's what you...
We appropriate from that.
Okay.
It goes to the general fund, as do the tax rate. And then we appropriate it at the annual meeting or a special district meeting it's appropriated for said purpose.
Okay, but you don't have a set amount. Is that what you had spoken about, having kind of a leisurely or an unset amount that you put into a future fund for capital expenses?
As a stabilization type?
Yeah.
Yeah, we usually have a stabilization fund that we established. We have a system development fund that we charge for new services and so on and so forth. It's its own account. That's to offset what they're taking from the well in perpetuity, you know. There's a certain amount that each well can give, and each person uses X, Y, Z. So that's how that was came into play. But our rates probably are, currently it's like one-third. It's like $1.2 million in water rates, and then like 2.2 in tax rate. 63 cents is the tax rate.
Okay. So, again, I think that, you know, it sounds to me like this would be a great starting point. You know, obviously, I don't want to pay for fire suppression for people that don't, sorry, Jen, who don't have, I used to have a well as well, but who aren't using as much water. Or any water for that matter. I also agree with Fran. I think that we need to look at the town, particularly tax exempt, and increasing the rate. That's all I have to say on it.
Absolutely. You want to talk until we can hear it?
Dennis Water District, Centerville, Austinville now, both have full rates, and it does work pretty well. It took a while to get established. The reason Dennis did it is because the town started to charge them an exorbitant amount of money to process the tax bills, which they're required to do under the legislation. So that's why they went to full rate. And Centerville did it in order to sort of, was an objective of DEP. They did it too quick. The rates went through the roof, and the people revolted. And that's what happened there.
So full rate in terms of operating expenses?
Everything.
And capital for the water department.
Dennis is just a district with no fire department, but Centerville Hospital, as you're aware, is a combination fire and water district. The water department itself is completely funded with rate by rate.
Okay.
Including capital.
Everything as I understand it.
So they're a separate entity, essentially, in the town.
Well, they're a separate district within the town. There's five districts, but they're a department within the Centerville Hospital Fire and Water District. So the water department itself, it's a department, is now fully, there's no tax, they took all the tax rate off. And so it's been like that now for 10, 12 years. And that one is working after they get rid of everybody, all the commissioners, and the superintendent and everybody else is gone. Now it's finally stabilized itself, and they're able to run it just like that. I'm not sure if there's anything subsidized, such as tanks and hydrants and so on and so forth, that the fire department uses. I'm not 100% sure of their rate structure internally.
So financially, they're a separate entity within?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just not sure if anything subsidized through the district.
If the legal entity is the district, they are not independent. Their revenue, expense, deficit, surplus flows to the district. And so let's say they have a deficit. That deficit would be made up in the tax rate for the district.
It would have to be. Right. Yeah, they're not legally separated. You're absolutely right. But for all intents and purposes, internally, they are separated, and they run on their own rate currently.
Right. From a management standpoint, they're independent.
Yeah.
Can I just point out that Centerville Austinville Marcus Mills Fire District has a trust fund, and so anybody who's worked there more than 6 years, I believe in any department, the trust fund takes care of their health insurance costs. So that's not borne by the taxpayers.
Just kind of a curiosity question for you, Dan. Do you guys have any other income besides water?
Yeah, we have antenna.
You do have antenna revenue coming in?
We've got like three or four of those at $40,000 a year, so it's like $120,000.
Okay.
We charge for fire services a certain amount.
You got a set rate?
By different by different sizes, you know, availability of demand.
Okay. Okay, everyone's had a chance to talk. I think I heard everyone's in favor of an independent study for a rate survey. Fran, you mentioned another study.
Cost of service study.
Cost of service study. Is that something that can be accomplished within this time frame to be ready for next year? So is one the chicken, the other the egg here?
Patrick O'Neill, Ted and Howard, I'll, if you want, kind of go through our approach to rate studies. First of all, we go through your expenses, as you've all spoke to, whatever those are, line by line. We do a look back 3 to 5 years. What's the trend in your expenses, whether it's salary, electricity, chemical cost. And after looking at what the trend has been, we do a look forward, what we think the trend's going to be going forward, and then compile all the expenses, meet with the staff, and come up with an approach for typically a five-year projection on expenses, line by line. And they all may differ as far as the factor used to project future expenses. And then if you're looking at picking up some of the overhead expenses, insurance or not, depending on what your ratio is now, you can plug them in into the future costs and see what it does to the bottom line for your expenses. With the expenses, we look at capital plans, whatever you have, as a written capital plan or just thoughts of what's coming forward. And if there's existing bond debt, obviously that's easy to plug in year by year. If there's future projects, then we work with the district to develop the bonding cost and plug that in where the project is scheduled to be constructed. Or then on the revenue side, we look at what your pumping history has been, because pumping is revenue. And as Chris said, last year was a good year. And as Mr. Mahoney said, those years may come to an end with the future of water management in the state of Massachusetts. There will be restrictions. We are currently negotiating with DEP for the last 7 years on your new water management permit. Within that, there, as Chris mentioned, there's a monitoring well up in Sandwich that will be continuously monitored. If that drops below a certain level and the state declares a drought emergency, you will be into one day a week watering, nothing between 9 and 5, and it will be a revenue changer because that is your revenue period that summertime. That's still being worked out. There's another component, what they call cold water fisheries, where for the district, your primary best producing well, number 5, has been identified as a potential impact on Santwick River, which is cold water fishery. So DEP wants a management plan for that well during the summer period, which may restrict pumping from that well, which leads to Chris's comment about when he comes in on July 3rd in the morning and everything's pumping, well, maybe number 5 can't pump 100% because of that, and we're still negotiating that as well with DEP. So that's kind of a wild card, but we look back at your pumping history with the overview of precipitation and the other things that drive that pumping, and then forecast revenue based on pumping on a conservative consumption number, so that you're not doing your future planning based on your 2016 pumping, which was abnormally high, versus a wet year or something in between.
Along with the rate revenues, we look at your non-rate revenues, service charges, hydrant fees, maybe fees that you don't have and maybe should. Are they appropriate? Are they true to the cost of that service that you provide, whether it's a hydrant dedicated for fire protection or just a new service connection? Large connection fees. We just did a rate study for the Buzzards Bay Water District, and their connection fee for like an 8-inch service for fire protection was $1,200, but that's a big connection. You're providing that building the potential for a lot of water for fire protection. And again, as Mr. Mahoney said, they might not use, you know, 100 cubic feet a year because they have one toilet. So that one structure drives a lot of capital, storage, transmission mains, pumping capacity, to make sure they get the water they need. So your opportunity to help fund your capital comes from that connection fee. So for them, we quadrupled the connection fee recommendations in the rate study because that development only comes along, you know, once. So you still have to provide that service, so you need to collect that revenue to keep your infrastructure up to date to meet those demands. So we look at all your non-rate fees going forward, which is part of your revenue stream. The split, well, once you have the revenue based on your current rates and your expenses, then you can see, like in the table here, where it drops out in the future, especially when you start plugging in large capital projects and bond debt. Then we look at the rate structure. Tiered rates are the preferred rate structure by DEP to encourage conservation, large users on the top tier. How that's structured is usually driven by trying to minimize the impact on the small users, the single elderly type users, that so if they stick within the lowest tier, there's less impact. But the large users that drive that summer demand, you know, jump into the second and third tier to generate your revenue from that stream versus the small users. The base charge systems go both ways, whether you put a base charge on and whether or not you put a quantity of water with the base charge. Most are leaning towards a base charge and 100% on usage. So the base charge, as Mr. Mahoney said, is your steady revenue to help offset those changes in revenue from demand and precipitation, those factors. And so what percentage you want as your base revenue off of the base charge is something to be looked at. I can't say we've done a lot with the tax side of the districts. We work with the Grafton Water District. They're not fire and water, they're just water. They're 100% on the rates. No tax levy. We just did Buzzards Bay, but their position was to keep the tax levy the same. We didn't get into any discussion on why or how, so we just used that as a constant in the revenue stream, and then worked with the rates to balance their budget going forward. In your case of fire and water, I guess I would have to talk to some of the others that are in your same situation with fire water district for that component where you share the cost or it goes into one general fund, how it's distributed and what the split is, to get some background.
Excuse me, but isn't the basis for all of this the cost of service, which identifies the infrastructure operations and allocates that between the users? Before you talk about rates, you have to understand the basis. So I think the cost of service is a key component, and I think they, from what I've, the little that I've read, they can be integrated. The second question is talking about timing. based on your receiving a appropriate RFP, response time, and if awarded, what's the usual lead time to start work?
Response time probably within a week or two, because it's, unless the scope really evolves into something different, it's pretty standard for
us. Assume it's standard.
It's pretty quick. I've actually discussed cost with Chris, you know, in the past. And then as far as completion, again, it depends on how much back and forth there is on rate structures, which usually becomes the discussion point as far as where you want to put the.
But what if we said in the RFP, just present rate alternatives, and it was left to the Water Board and the Prudential Committee to make those decisions? So you wouldn't get into that iteration that will slow things down, addressing Don's concern about the timing on this.
As far as completion, within 6 months, it could be
complete. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question which may confuse things. Not on purpose, but is there any way to get a handle on the efficiency of the system? If the water meters aren't calibrated on a regular basis and we lose accurate tracking of the water being used through the meters and therefore billing, if the wells have leaks of some kind to a certain percentage where we are not getting full use of the water we're pumping, that could have effect on billing and all everything we do. Is that something that can be a plan for something like that worked into coming up with a better way of being efficient with our water resources through the maintenance and
there is a program exactly geared towards that.
Okay.
You can do a water audit. We've done a water audit. Probably a little old now.
Maybe a little year and a half old.
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
The next step in water audits, and the state is providing grants for water audits again, and they did in the past, and stopped for a while, is the M36 water audit, which is a program developed by the American Water Works Association, AWWA. It goes beyond the traditional water audit that the state of Massachusetts uses, and it drills into much deeper into the operations. It's a more expensive audit, and the state is encouraging public water systems to use it. That's why they're doing the grant program. We've done a number of them. One of our associates in the Connecticut office is actually on the committee, so the M36 committee for American Water Works in development of that M36 guideline and how it's implemented going forward. We are working with the town of Avon right now. They did an M36 audit through a grant by another consultant, but now we're taking the results from there and picking the problem areas, one of which is metering, and drilling into that and see how they address that going forward. If it's a meter replacement program, more frequent calibration of source meters. But I think in general, your unaccountable water is below 10%, which is the state guidance.
Okay.
And that implies, you know, certain efficiency with your metering, both source and residential consumption meters.
Okay, I do know that every year when we send the bill out, the department gets a lot of calls from people, and I don't want to say the other side of 28, but people who, even though we consider our rates to be very low and that $36 a year bill to be minimal, that have a hard time paying their stuff. And they say that this is, they complain about it every year.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to leave that part of it out altogether, that this is going to affect people in this district, and it's going to happen. And so I want to make sure everyone is considered here. But I do think I'm sensing a consensus that we want to have an independent rate study, and I wish I knew more about that, but if I would defer, personally, I would defer to a process that is a logical process, not one that's going backwards. And if that's the way it is, if we can get something accomplished this year, so we have a rate, we can. If we have to make a change in the rates for next year, it'll be. That's. I think we're all on the same page. Does anyone have any disagreement with that?
Can I speak to this a little bit? Yeah. I see it on the table.
Yep. I found that as an example.
That is, I guess everyone has a copy, what we call a capital efficiency plan.
Mm-hmm.
It is one step forward in a traditional water distribution study, which we have done for the district. The water distribution study is typically done with the source capacity versus demand. Going forward, then it looks at distribution system hydraulics, maintaining required fire flows based on ISO requirements, and or just a global look at fire protection needs. Storage capacity, there's a formula for calculating your required storage based on demand, emergency needs, equalization storage to offset peak days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the traditional approach, which generates capital improvements, which there's probably still a list in the study that was done maybe 10 years ago, of generally pipe improvements to correct hydraulic deficiencies. The capital efficiency plan takes it beyond that. It goes into the asset management part, where you have aging infrastructure. So we look at pipe age, break history, the soils, around the pipe, which in some cases the soils drive pipe breaks. And we do a rating system combined with input from the staff during a workshop as far as what is the history of your mains. Is it old cast iron that's problematic, or ductile iron along the waterfront, or AC that's underwater on the waterfront that's becoming problematic for many systems. And we do a rating system based on every piece of pipe, pick up the age, everything, put it into the rating system, get it into a GIS-based map so it can be used going forward. It's a permanent history. We've washed through the data with the staff as far as age, material, all of that. So now you have a permanent record, which is a problem now with people retiring. All that knowledge that used to be in, Joe had in his head that's not on a piece of paper now gets onto a map for future reference. The other piece of it is criticality. We look at critical components, whether it's your sources, transmission, storage, your critical users, could be this building, schools, stuff like that, and how does your infrastructure support the needs for those facilities, whether it's just flow or fire flows. And then we still use the hydraulic analysis as well. So those three we've referred to in our capital efficiency as the three circles approach. So if you look at your critical components, your hydraulic deficiencies, and then your asset management portion, any of the projects that come out of that analysis, kind of the center overlapping circle, becomes a project that addresses three components, so you're getting more kind of bang for your buck that you can solve three problems with a project versus, putting a water main in that only corrects one fire flow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this program is about.
So we're jumping ahead in my plan, because next year I wanted to work on a long-term long-range plan for the infrastructure of the water district here. I think in some ways we're in good shape, where we have our tanks are good for 75 years for the future.
Yeah.
We have to look forward to periodic paintings and stuff like that. But there is some mains that need to be addressed. And I think if we could get a plan out and try to, because I firmly believe you need to reinvest into the system something every year. Otherwise, you're going to get hit with a big problem sometime at some period of time, and that's going to be shocking. So if there is a plan to address issues systematically over time, we can keep the cost pretty level instead of spiking it. And that is something I was looking forward to next year. I don't have that much time. Do anyone have anything they want to say in general about this whole process? Are we making progress here? Where do we want to go from here?
Well, I think that you have to determine what you want to have included in the cost of service study. I just want to say one thing about that. I think that's a crucial importance when you go to present this to the district. I think you need to be able to show them what the cost of service is so that they can see all the facts, all the figures that you're going to base the increase on. I think that's probably one of the single most important reasons to do this study.
I'm going to admit something right here. I don't know everything. So this is a learning process, and I'm open to whatever makes this the most efficient, effective process we can have here at this time. So what we need to do to get this done, I would be in favor of as a single person of the board.
Comments, it may be worthwhile to consider in your evaluation of future needs of the capital that you're talking about would be to include the capital replacement of existing infrastructure. They all have a certain lifespan, and not to include that in that total calculation would be, in my view, sort of putting it off to another date, so the people need to know what they own and when they're going to have to replace it. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do this and establish a long-term capital replacement of some sort that you can fund, however you can afford to fund it, but something should be done. You're absolutely right, and it should be structured,
yeah,
for your assets, and that way it would be a fair assessment of what your costs are going to be in the future and would justify some sort of rate or tax or mm-hmm. levy or both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I do see in the financial world that even though we have a big expense like a water tank we just put up, it is spread out over time. Mm-hmm. So the rate's not going to be spiked for big numbers. If we can come up with some sort of formula to try to look forward to things and have a plan for them in our rates. Now, is there an issue with doing a survey of having to pinpoint how we want to spend the money or what it is we want to accomplish, or can we leave it open and have everything on the table, all the options, the way it is now, including health insurance and retirement is added to it, or paying for everything? Can we leave all the stuff on the table as part of this survey or not?
You can restructure the RFP any way you
okay.
want.
That's what I want to know.
We typically would present multiple scenarios on future rate structures,
yeah,
in any rate study, whether it's modifying a base charge or not,
yeah,
or how you structure the tiers, what's the volume in each tier,
mm-hmm,
so that you can limit impacts on, again, the elderly component.
Yeah.
So typically, we would look at multiple structures, and that could include expenses included or not included, and how that impacts future rates.
Okay.
So that's pretty.
Because even though I have an opinion, I don't want to leave other stuff out that may work because I have an opinion. I want to look at all the options.
one consideration, I think, is going to be that...
Oh.
I think one consideration in developing whatever we want out of a study is going to be the further, the more detailed that study is of what our costs are and what our projection for costs are, that study is going to cost more money. And we were voted an appropriation at the annual meeting, but I don't have any idea what something like this would cost, where we look into all the piping in the town, the water mains, and whatever, you know, the pumping stations, and project that out over time. So I guess we have to be careful what we ask for if we don't know how much money is in our wallet.
I'd be glad to give you a budget if you, you know, you have this report, and I haven't looked at this one in particular, but I'm willing to bet that the scope, which is kind of identified in the table of contents, is pretty standard for our capital efficiency. If that scope addresses what you want out of the plan, the endpoint is a prioritized capital improvement plan based on all those components. We can give you a budget for that so you know where you might be headed. If that kind of chicken and the egg, you're going to do that, or you're going to do the rate study first, or can you do them both, or
I don't think we can do the rate study until we've done the cost of service study and have that information, and it, you know, how much it's costing us to provide the water now and in the future.
I would look at doing it in two phases. We've already appropriated or allocated $25K this year. So we would look at what we can spend this year, what it'll cover. I think this American Water Works Association, drilling down deep and finding out exactly what we have and what kind of maintenance is going to need, what kind of expenditures, capital expenditures we're going to need over the next couple of years. We should take advantage of that, especially since the state is giving you some money to get that done. So they would cover some of the costs, I would assume, and we could do that next year if we don't have enough money to do it this year.
So I'll ask the question again, where do we want to go from here?
Are you guys planning on including the fire department in the study also when you're talking about doing a complete?
Complete for?
Are we just still talking water department here, doing an infrastructure basically and everything, but there's going to be expenses coming from the fire department down the line also. I don't think they're going to level out at any point right now. Are you looking still to do entire here, or are we talking just water?
Just water.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all we're responsible for, so that would be my input. Just water.
Just water, yeah. We need to get a 5-year plan from fire also.
Yeah. Okay. So where do we want to go from here?
I think we start with a budget for what the cost of service survey and efficiency plan would cost.
I think the starting point would be the RFP.
Yeah. Designing it.
We start to see what's out in the public domain. And review it and edit it and then issue it once we've reached agreement.
Do we have a consensus amongst the boards here of putting together an RFP as described by Ray?
Yes, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We want to look at the cost of service study as well as the capital efficiency plan, because that needs to be part of it, right?
So do we want to work together on this? Treasurer, Prudential, and Water? Have at least one person from each sit down and work on that. We can bring it to our committees and review it so we don't have to have everyone, you know, spending all their lovely summer days.
Yeah, right. But
I understand that you guys are talking about RFP and all. We don't have to go that route. I'm not saying that, you know, one way or the other, I understand. But correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but since you have been doing studies like this in the past, we don't have to go out with an RFP for this. You could give us a price, and if it was low enough to go with it.
Correct, for professional services.
For professional services, we don't have to go out and bid forbidden process. But, I mean, that's up to you guys whatsoever. I just want that to be out there.
We do offer an advantage. We do have your hydraulic model already. We did the last update, although in this study, we would probably update it again because there's been some main improvements since that time. But,
so you should have a cost advantage in responding to the RFP.
So I have to go back to work sometime soon. Can we agree that if I talk to Fran and we talk to Ray, come up with a time that we can sit down and talk? Did you hear that, Ray?
I'm sorry.
If we can, through contacting you and Fran and me, come up with a time where we can meet to work on this?
Yes.
And if we could do it before the 17th of the month? Because I know that that's our next meeting, and I'd like to be able to come back and go over it with the rest of the board.
So the thing.
Okay.
Yeah. We can set a time after the meeting.
Yeah.
Very good. So, unless there's any other questions, do we have public comment from the background there?
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. I'd like to commend all of you for coming together. I think this was a productive meeting. But on the other hand, I have to say it wasn't done correctly. You cannot take a vote to move forward until the Prudential Committee meets and discusses this amongst themselves, since the taxpayers voted to have them be responsible for putting this together. So everything you did was great, but we really need to have a Prudential Committee meeting where the three Prudential Committee members discuss this and put together a vote to move forward. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
From your perspective, would it be appropriate for this board to vote in the affirmative predicated upon the outcome of the Prudential meeting?
That's up to you guys. I don't care.
Well, I wanted to offer it and see if anyone had any objections. Well, my only point is, could this board vote to, in the affirmative, to issue an RFP predicated upon the outcome of the Prudential Committee meeting? If the Prudential said no, then they can't do it. Does that make sense? Okay.
Amy?
Amy Cates, 4782 Falmouth Road. My question is in the formation of this committee. The decision to create a committee, the vote to create a committee, a vote to include certain members of the public and members of the Kituat Fire District, and to actually create and appoint a committee. And I didn't see that occur at a public meeting. So I think there's two points. One was raised by another member of the public and this point. So I was at the last water commissioners meeting, and I don't recall that there was any discussion to have a focus group, who would be included on it, who we would want to invite, what Kituat Fire District existing committees would be included, and how that would happen. And so I didn't see that happen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just for the record, that was talked about at the last meeting, because we talked about having it before our next meeting.
You talked about it generally. There was you didn't talk about creating a focus group and who would be on that committee. You talked about how it might be advantageous to do that in a general kind of way. But there was no vote and there was no appointment of committee members. That's what I'm addressing.
Okay. My assumption that by including the pertinent committees in full and the treasurer, the people that were involved that represent this district, it would include everyone. We have Prudential, we have the treasurer, we have water.
That was not the discussion. There was no specific discussion about appointing a committee. There was no discussion about that. The discussion seemed general, that, well, probably would make sense to do this, and it appeared as though that a good place to start might have been a policy advisory committee.
Well, I don't remember policy advisory committee being mentioned.
No, it wasn't mentioned.
At some point in time, the ball actually has to move forward to get something done. And I looked at this as just the initial step of getting this ball rolling so we can get something done in a timely fashion this year. And the people all came from a nice morning in the middle of summer because they all thought it was important. We're all trying to be productive for the district. If I did something wrong procedurally, it was not with malice. It was to try to get something done for the district.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was, and this is a great committee, and I think this has been a good meeting. I'm talking procedurally. Thank you.
So if there's no other comments, take a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, everyone. We'll be contacting you. Actually, I want to talk to you before you leave about another topic. And we have you guys. Vic, if you two, you want to look at that.